Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. This is a recording of our Sunday morning sermons here at Prairie Oaks Baptist Church in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. Thank you for being a participant in this ministry through this media. And thank you to those who helped make it possible. Now may God bless you and keep you. And let's get to the message. Amen. Thank you, sir. All right. So John chapter 17. And we started it last week, and we won't get it finished today either. But we saw where Jesus is started last week praying for himself. And there was a prayer about glory, that he would receive glory from his Father. And as I've continued to meditate on it, my brain is still kind of thinking on what that means. And so as I was out here during Sunday school, just for a few minutes, reacquainting myself with it. I preached it this morning already once, but I still need more acquainting with it, don't I? Because it's the Word of God. It's living. It's powerful. And it is a treasure. It is a treasure box. And the good steward pulls out of the treasure box what is both old and new. And so there's things that are old that God has taught me, and then there's new stuff he just continues to teach me through his Holy Spirit. But as I was thinking about glory in that, you know, because we know that he has sat down at the right hand of the Father. He is receiving majesty now. But that's even just a portion, because he is going to come again and his saints are going to revel in his glory. And he receives glory as we worship him in both now by faith and then by sight. But there's also, because he speaks about it so present tense there on that evening before he is to be betrayed and arrested and mocked and die on a cruel Roman cross within 24 hours, he's talking about glory there as well. And I'm reminded that even though he is gone, as his own parable said, to a distant land to receive the kingdom, he also is being crowned as a king in the next 24 hours. He has already been anointed by a woman of the brother whose brother is Lazarus. She anointed his head, which is a part of being a king. He has triumphantly entered Jerusalem, as foretold, not on a charging war horse, but on a donkey. He has been proclaimed the king. In the next 24 hours, they are going to proclaim that he claimed to be the king of the Jews. They're going to crown him with a crown of thorns. They're going to put on his back a purple robe. And they're going to put a sign above his head that says, "The King of the Jews." They are going to proclaim him to be the King of the Jews. And so there is a real way in which he is being enthroned even on the cross that day. And that is because the King has come and the King is defeating his enemies as he sits on that cross, looking to be the victim, but actually the victor. Because within 3 days, he rises again, proving that he defeated sin, that he defeated the devil, and he defeated the world, and he defeated death itself. All of our enemies defeated. All in that, our King, who is enthroned on the cross that day. And so that too is part of the glory he is looking at. And that is part of the picture of that God is presenting of himself through Jesus Christ. And that's what we're looking at here as we get to this section of John chapter 17. We're going to pick up at verse 6 and we're going to read through verse 19. And I'm going to be ornery and say, can you guys stand out of respect for God's word? Maybe you don't want to stand and that's okay, or you can't. But John chapter 17, starting in verse 6, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them. And you have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. For those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your son who spoke these words. I thank you for your spirit who inspired John to pen these words, that we might know what you have for us in this. And the treasure of Jesus praying for his disciples. In extension, praying for us. And so, Father, I pray that you would guide my words and my thoughts to accurately teach your word. For your words are the bread of life. I pray, Lord, that you would be with Casey in the children's chapel, and I'm thankful for that ministry, and just let those seeds of the gospel be sown and bring forth fruit unto salvation, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to do all these things and more. We love you because you first loved us. Forgive us of the ways we fail you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So as you can tell, the prayer shifts here. He starts talking about his disciples, and then he's praying for his disciples. And I believe, and as we're going to see in a few weeks when we finish the chapter, by extension, praying for those who will be discipled, who will make disciples, who will make disciples, by extension, all the way to us, who I hope that we're standing in that line of making disciples who are making disciples, that it continue on. And so, his prayer. Well, there was a key word, and you probably noticed as I read it, it kept showing up, and that is keep. I pray that you keep them. And the word itself is kind of interesting. There's a lot of words that are almost synonyms in the Greek language there. But it involves guarding. Literally, just hanging on to something. To not lose something. And you can see that in how Jesus uses it. And we'll get to that in a minute here. But his prayer is for the Father to keep his disciples. Don't lose any of them. Guard them. And by extension, there's other words that also use these same meanings, but to protect, to fortify. All those things are probably involved in this as he uses it. But that we be kept, and he uses two different, preposition, but it gets sent to us in two different ways. One is through and one is in. And I think they both help us understand what Jesus is getting at here, is that we be kept in his name, and we be kept as his representatives, his ambassadors. Keep my disciples in you, in Christ, in God. But how does he do that? He does it through his name. His name is power, is authority. It is backed by the character of God himself. And so he is entrusting his disciples to the work of the Father, that they would continue in the faith. They would continue in that. And as I've contemplated on this, I think there's a lot more contemplating that needs to be done on it for me. But as I have, I see where in this he tells us there's a couple different ways in which he does that. And again, I'm going to unpack that in a little bit. But the big picture I want us to have right now is that beautiful thought that Jesus is praying in this moment for us. It is very personal. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for individuals, not just a big blob of whoever. It was for individuals, his own. They belong to the Father. And as we talked last week, those who are in Christ, we are a gift from the Father to the Son. And he treasures those gifts. And now here he is praying specifically for us. And I pray that it's very personal for us as well. Amen. That our relationship with God isn't just kind of an amorphous, blobby thing, but it is personal. Because the reality is if it's not, there's something wrong. It may not even be real. And that it needs to be personal. And so that's our first thought, is that it is a personal thing. As Jesus prays for his disciples, including us, that they be kept. Because here's the thing, is we saw here in verses 12 and some of those, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those you gave me, I've kept. I haven't lost any of them. And then he points out the son of perdition, the one who never was, but who was amongst them anyways, the tare among the wheat, the one who we don't know what was going through his head all the time, but somehow he was there with the disciples all along. The disciples never suspected, but he was the one who was not one of them. And you can tell, I think, as you read through the Gospels, how much of a shock it was to them, in that they are not your typical fiction writers that leave this, you know, leave you in suspense and then the big shock towards the end. No, first time they mention his name in the Gospels, years before he actually does the betrayal, they say, he's the one that betrays Jesus. It was such a shock and such a horror to them, what he did. And so I use this as an illustration then of what this keeping looks like. Because remember, all of them fled. All of them, to a certain extent, denied. But we'll focus in on Peter because he's the one that denied Jesus three times. But yet Peter was kept, Judas was not. And Peter, as he denied, obviously he sorrowed. Judas, after he betrayed Jesus, he sorrowed. So what was the difference? Well, the Apostle Paul hints in his letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that there's two kinds of sorrow. There's a sorrow that leads to repentance, and then there's a worldly sorrow that just leads unto death. And we wonder if Paul got that thought from looking at Peter and Judas. Because Peter clearly repented. Judas hung himself. He died, killed himself. He sorrowed, leading unto death. But Peter's led to repentance. How do we know that? Because as soon as he heard rumors that Jesus was alive, he didn't run from Jesus, he ran to Jesus. That's what repentance is, my friends, is us running from what we did wrong and running to Jesus. Because He welcomes sinners who are repentant. And that's the thing that I've always admired about Peter since the light came on and I realized it, is that's all Peter really wanted in life. He just wanted to be with Jesus. If he's in the boat and Jesus is not in the boat, where is Peter going to be? Out of the boat. Whether that's to walk on the water to get to Jesus, or it's to swim to shore and leave the other guys with a bunch of fish to figure out how to get back to shore. But he wanted to be with Jesus. When they arrested Jesus, everyone else fled to the other part of town. Peter, he's like, but Jesus is in the high priest's house. I've got to at least get closer than I am now, which is what got him into trouble, right? He got in, just like he was when he was walking on the water, got scared, and he sank. And so I think that's just a side lesson. That wasn't actually part of the outline. But be like Peter. Just want to be closer to Jesus. Even if it gets us in trouble, Jesus will rescue us. Just get closer to Jesus. And so there's our two examples. Jesus kept them. And you can see how he did that. He guarded them with his words, his teaching, his presence. He, even when he was being arrested, he provided a way out for them to not be arrested with him. You know, I'm the only one you're looking for. Just take me. And they did. And his prayer to the Father that they be kept is lived out in Peter, and that Peter repented. He just wanted to be with Jesus. God used Peter and his desire to want to be with Jesus. I started to call it a natural desire, but it's not natural for anyone to want to be with Jesus. I hope you know that. It is spiritual. It is a work of God that you want to be with Jesus. And so God used that desire so that Peter chose to want to be with Jesus. But it was of the Spirit all along that he wanted to be with Jesus. So you see how God works to keep us. And that gives me hope. I like that. I'm going to get just a little closer, John. Sorry. If you noticed, I'm not staying behind the pulpit anyways. And so Jesus is leaving. He's done this job of keeping them. He's not lost any that the Father had given him. But he knows that the world is a hostile place. It is, isn't it? Sometimes we can coast along and in our Christian huddle, and we don't feel it as much as some of the folks around the world are feeling it. But then some of you don't have the Christian huddle when you go to work or when you get out in the community or whatever, and you know it's a hostile place to the things of Christ. And so Jesus says, so I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them while they're in the world. And that's kind of sobering, isn't it? Well, why won't he just take us? And I think there's a place for that desire, right? You know, that's why the rapture is so popular to believe in, is that we desire to be with Jesus, right? We desire to get out of this old world. But here he says, and I'm not getting eschatological here with you or anything, but he does say, but I don't ask that you take them out of the world. I want you to leave them in the world. Just keep them while they're in the world. And I think there's meaning in that. Because he's keeping us in the world for what? Well, he tells us, so let's look at it. So he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So it's an answer there, isn't it? That he has, in his prayer for us, he has given us his word. First John, keep his word. Know his word. Live in his word. But it's not a one-way street. It's also supposed to be going with His Word. Because just as the Father sent Jesus to reveal God's glory, He's sending us to reveal God's glory. The work must continue. The work must continue. And this is where I think it's kind of interesting. You know, we were saved to serve. We were sent to serve, just as Jesus was sent to serve. And it may not be glamorous, but it is not glamorous what Jesus did either. He came to serve. If you desire to be with me, anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's self-surrender in order for God to reveal himself through us. And so it doesn't require you to be a preacher. It doesn't require you to have a job title or anything in the kingdom except ambassador and disciple. Because you've been sent. So make disciples everywhere. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do it for His glory. And so we just do things to show God, to show Christ. Do it in a godly way. So we can do that as truck drivers or as linemen, or we can do that in the machine shop, or we can do that at home with the kids, or we can do that with the grandkids. We can do that as we're shopping. He just said, whatever you're doing, do it in a godly way. And I'm thankful that not only can we do it there, but some of you are even doing it beyond that, in that you're really getting out there and letting your light shine as you serve and do for others. That's what He's asked us to do. In building up the believers and making God known. And it's a hard job. And so that's where our last word that I wanted to mention. He also prayed that we would not just be kept, but that we would be sanctified. And sanctified is kind of a fancy word, you know. You use that word, and to get to use that word, you don't have to go to college to know it. It's in the Bible, but you know, it's a fun word to say. But here's what it is it's just two things: to be set apart. Remember, He said, I don't pray for the whole world. I'm praying for mine. Yeah. You've been set apart. You've been set apart, but not just set apart and made different and unique, although some of us are more different than others, maybe more unique than others, but we've been set apart. But here we are. We've been set apart for God. We're His. You know, wherever God sends, I will go. We sing those kind of songs, right? Whatever He commands, I will do. Well, that's being set apart for Him. But the other part of being set apart is, if you're set apart for Him, then it needs to be suitable for Him. And that is that you would be holy, because He is holy. And so sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. That we would be turning away from sin more and more every day, and the corruption of this world. Because the world, it has subtle ways of destroying us as well as overt ways of destroying us. The overt way would be persecution. The subtle way is compromise. That we start to believe what the world believes, because that's what everyone else is believing, isn't it? But no, be set apart by the truth that we know God's Word, that we're in His Word daily, I need that. The world's bombarding us with its own ideas, and they're from the devil. They're not anything new there. But that we spend time in His Word. I need people to teach me. Even as a teacher, I need taught. But that we all would be taught and in His Word and believing it, that we would be set apart by it. And then we are taking that out to the world and glorifying Him. And in all that, you see how it works? He's given us those desires. He's helping us do those things. And that was what He said He would do, was He would answer His Son's prayer that He would keep us. He keeps us by us being like Peter. Just keep running to Jesus. Through His Word, through prayer, His Spirit. It's kind of a nice little cycle, to be honest with you. It's a fun opportunity for us to participate in Jesus' prayer being answered in more ways than one. And so, it's kind of straightforward here. We'll have a song of invitation. I've presented you what the Word says. And so now, I feel like, well, there may be some things you need to pray about. We're going to deal with some prayer requests and things after we pray, just like we do inside. But I want to give us an opportunity, really, to respond and say, all right, God, you're right. This needs changed in my life. Because I need to be sanctified. I need to be set apart. I need to be holy. Or I need to not be so scared. But as Jesus prayed earlier in His commands to His disciples in 16:33, that we would have courage. But whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is prompting, just pray that you respond as He leads this morning. But it's page 210 is where we're gonna sing.